Would you stand with me as we read from the Word? You should have a clue if you were here last week that we are going back to John 5. Let's go back to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. St. John chapter 5. Verses 1 through 9. I'm reading from the NIV. This story goes further down to verse 15. But we're going to stop at verse 9. If you have it, say amen. If you still look and say, hold on, Pastor. I'm still hearing some leaves turning. Amen. All right. From the NIV, it reads like this. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now, there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, somebody say a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up." Somebody say, get up. "Pick up your bed and walk." At once. How quickly? At once. The man was cured. He picked up his bed or his mat and walked. If you look at verse 14, it gives a clue of something. Later, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, when God does something for you, you ought to find the temple. You ought to find the temple, find some people that believe with you, and have a party. Come on, somebody help me right here. When Jesus does something for you, don't keep it to yourself. Find the temple and tell somebody else. Well, watch what Jesus said to him. Stop sinning. That's kind of rough. If I were to walk up to you this morning and I say, I saw you jumping and shouting, but stop sinning, you get mad with me, won't you? Jesus saw the man in the temple having a good time, having just praising the Lord. And Jesus said, no, stop sinning before something worse happened to you. I spared you this time, but watch yourself. Tell somebody, watch yourself. Amen. Father, we just want to give you honor. And we give you praise. Cover this house and everyone in this house. Speak to our hearts. Let your Holy Spirit have his way. Lord, let your glory fill this house. We've come to celebrate your goodness. We've come to magnify you. We've come to praise you. Speak a word. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to give the Lord some praise, would you? Come on, open your mouth and bless him. Come on. Hey, let's go. Open your mouth and bless the Lord. To praise the Lord is to tell him how good he is. Find something that God his character and just bless him and tell him, God, thank you for being faithful. You are an awesome provider. You are a protector. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Let's praise him. Come on, let's praise him in this house. You didn't come to stand here and look cute. You came to worship. You came to bless his name. So bless his name. You may be seated. You may be seated. This is our third sermon in this series. The first was entitled, Step Into Your Own. And God shared with us there by way of application that in stepping into our own, we need to be calm. Tell somebody, be calm. In stepping into our own, we need to be decisive. Stop wavering and procrastinating and halting and be decisive. Tell somebody, be decisive. Or you're weak. You're weak. Tell your neighbor, be decisive. Some of you haven't heard a word I say yet. So you want to be here all day? We'll be here. I want to make sure you're getting this. Because I'm not going to just throw words out. It's got to mean something. You got to get this. Tell somebody, be calm. Tell them, be decisive. And be confident. Then the next in the series was, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? Three things Jesus said to him, get up. Come on, say get up. Take up and walk up. And some of us have been stuck too long. Today we want to look at the third phase, and we're not going to finish the story. There's so much more in there, but we're going to go just a little further. And we want to speak today under the theme, even now, say that with me, it's not too late. You don't know who you're sitting next to. You have to speak with some kind of conviction. I want you to tell the person next to you, and if they're too far away from you, get close to them. Tell somebody, even now, it's not too late. Now, in between the even now and it's not too late is a whole lot of stuff. Even now, after bum 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 bum, it's not too late. You have no idea what folks are going through that's sitting next to you. You have no idea what we face. Just take this week alone. I said last week, and I'm many of you see us. It could have been the week before. I don't know. But many of you see us, but you don't know our story. You sitting here, seemingly calm, collective, and folks have a tendency to form a certain conclusion about you. They have already decided in their minds who you are, what you are, but they have no clue because they don't know your story. And if you were to take the time to tell some folk your story, you would notice that they would start acting differently. Let me give you this. I was 2 weeks ago, I was watching this particular movie. And in short, it was about a young lady who had worked for a particular firm and doing basically menial work. And having gone to the doctor diagnosed her, and the diagnosis was bad. In fact, it indicated that she had just about a month to live. And so what she decided, she was going to live it up. Not just live, but live it up. And so she went to a very fabulous place, and she got all of her savings together, and she was going to blow everything. Just, she's going to go out with a bang. But the funny thing about it is, the machine that had assisted the doctor in forming the conclusion of what had been done had malfunctioned. Tell somebody, God has the last word. And in the midst of her rendezvous, they tried to reach her, couldn't reach her, then they sent a fax and cut the story short. Essentially and eventually, the word got to her. But prior to that, there was a particular maid in the hotel, I mean this very upscale hotel where she stayed, that was treating her real badly and just trying to suck everything out of her. She had an attitude. You know how some folks have an attitude? Think that they're doing you a favor. They bring you food and they look at you like, what do you think you're doing here? They don't say nothing, but you can tell what they're thinking. You know, some of you are sitting in here right now. Watch how you serve people. And then there were these other people, upscale, as a matter of fact, people in the same firm for which she worked, and later found out, and they're trying to do an investigation. So they paid the lady the money, the same maid, to go into her stuff and find out. You never know what's happening in your hotel. Find out about this woman. And then she found out that this woman was suffering from a terminal illness. And when she found out, this mean woman suddenly became very nice. Why can't you be nice now? You don't know if that person is sitting by you for the last time. So you don't know my story. And we are right now in our text. I suspect that those who had been there every day, every year, had formed a particular opinion about this man. Some of them said he's just lazy. He's just this, he's just that. But they didn't know his story. I want us to be careful how we judge other people. Has anybody ever told you you are stuck up? Anybody ever been told you're stuck up? And then to yourself, you are the most jovial person. But they don't know you. They don't know you. Be careful how you conclude and how you judge other folk. The scene changes once more to Jerusalem. And there now in Jerusalem, unbelief develops very rapidly. And there is a foreshadowing of the dread reality. It cannot be that a prophet perishes out of Jerusalem. So that Jesus now finds himself once more in the very focus of a controversy. His disciples, obviously, from the passage, are nowhere around. Jesus is all alone, and they are about to go up to Jerusalem, but on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus takes a detour. He stops long enough to meet a woman at the well. This woman had been notorious, and most of the women in the village did not like her. They accused her of stealing their husband, their man. You don't know nobody like that, of course. I want to say to the brothers, don't be like Adam. Don't just sit there, open your mouth and say something. Don't let everybody be talking to your wife and you just sitting there. Speak. Tell somebody to speak. But the Bible says that Jesus met her need. And then later on, that a man rushes up to Jesus. He's the commander-in-chief. And he says, my servant is sick. I want you to do something, Jesus. My little boy, actually. And Jesus touched the boy with his words and with his power. And the Bible says immediately that same hour, the boy was restored. Had Jesus not intervened, the woman would still be rejected and the boy would have probably been dead by now. I'm thankful that Jesus knows how to stop by and knows how to intervene. So let's watch the procession here. First of all, we look at the time of the miracle. So now Jesus is here in Jerusalem. After this, says the Bible, there was a feast of the Jews. So obviously the miracle takes place at the time of the feast. It is generally believed that this was the Feast of Purim. It was not one of the three great feasts. It was a feast in which the Jews give presents to one another, and Jesus would signalize it by deeds of miraculous beneficence. And so he comes by, and he heals a man amidst the feast. I want you to follow the procession. Then we look at the scene of the miracle, and here's what the word says. Now there was at Jerusalem by the sheep gate, or the marketplace, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In other words, here is this pool, and surrounding the pool are five places to hang out, to chill, to cool down. This was the thermal intermittent spring, such as are still existing right now in Jerusalem, possessing rare curative qualities. These springs, we are told, had the ability, the properties of healing in them. I've been to Dominica and I've been to St. Lucia, and in St. Lucia, I'll talk about, there is a particular sulfur spring. And they tell us that this sulfur spring has curative, healing qualities. As a matter of fact, they've told me that if you have asthma or some breathing disorder, just inhale this stuff that comes from the spring and it heals you. And I didn't have asthma, but I took an inhale and I can feel something moving. My sinuses cleared up. So if you understand that, you'll understand that this pool is right there in the middle of the marketplace and it has healing qualities in it. And Jesus now comes by and observes what's happening. But more than that, of all the people that are there, Jesus walks up to one man. I want you to get this. Sometimes we get lost in the crowd, but not with Jesus. Amidst the crowd, Jesus has the ability to see the individual. Say amen, somebody. It's amazing how God will just step in right on time, and in the midst of all the people you are with, God will just snatch you, just you. He comes into a family. Everybody's there, but Jesus says, no, not you, not you, not you. I want this one, and you are not the most desirable as far as they're concerned, but he says, this is it. Tell somebody, this is your moment. I told you that God this year is taking people from the back of the line. So they gathered around and seeking shelter in the porches while they were waiting for the moving of the water. The next thing I want you to see, number three, is not only the time of the miracle, the scene of the miracle, but I want you now to notice the case of the impotent man. Right off the bat, you know he's impotent. He's an invalid. But more than that, the Bible says he had been such and afflicted with this impotence for 38 long years. I want you to think about it. 38 long years, this man's been suffering with impotency. He was an invalid. Didn't have mobility like most of us do. Now, I don't know how long you've been dealing with your particular situation, but if you have had something in your life that's been troubling you for a while, you have a pretty good idea what it must have been like for this man, 38 years suffering. If you have any kind of disability, if you're blind, for example, you can just imagine what it's like to be around people who are around you, obviously having fun, looking at this and looking at that. But I want to say to you that even though you may be blind physically, God can give you insight. Fanny J. Crosby didn't have physical eyesight, but you got to have insight to write a song like she wrote. And she wrote many. Can you imagine if you have a child that disabled in some way or another? And this child is growing up and he or she is seeing everybody else, all the children running around playing, having fun, and they can't do the things that everybody else does. Understand this. Now let me just say this to us right up front. I don't care how nice you look, how well you dress, everybody in this room, and I'm sure about this, including this preacher, has some disability. Some of them are obvious, and some are not so obvious. Some are physical, and some are mental, and some are emotional, and some are, and the list goes on. But everybody has something that they're dealing with. Do I have a witness in the house? Everybody has something that they're dealing with. Come on, tell them, I don't care how you look at me. You too, you have something that you're dealing with. Everybody, I am not mistaken about this. I am sure about this. Everybody in this room is dealing with something. Everybody. See, the problem with us is that which is physical, we highlight. But do you know that emotional trauma is worse than physical trauma? So this man been this way for 38 young years. I want to ask you how long you've been dealing with that. Perhaps his impotence had some connection with youthful sins and follies. I get the clue from verse 14. I read it to you earlier. That this man was impotent more than likely because of something happening in his life earlier. There are a whole lot of people as I speak who are now facing debilitating stuff in their lives that didn't happen yesterday, but sometime in their childhood. And often it takes 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. There are many examples of celebrities. Everybody would know this if I say it. Oprah, celebrity. It took her 40 years before she could face the fact that she had been molested as a child. I told you, everybody is dealing with something. She looked successful. She looked happy. But nobody knew until she said it what she was dealing with. There are a lot of us who are successful. We have reached the top of our career. We seem to be happy. We seem to have it all together. But there is something debilitating that's messing us up every day. In other words, some of us seem to be confident, but we suffer from insecurity. And we disguise it and wrap it up in different things. That's why some of us are so outspoken. We're hoping that nobody notices how shy we are. Isn't that a contradiction? Sometimes the most shy person is the most outspoken person because they're trying to keep you or keep me at bay. We all have defense mechanisms. Let's be honest about this. We all have territories that we don't want anybody to invade. Let's deal with this. And so the man, he was there for 38 years, and he was suffering for something that had happened prior in his life. I get the clue from verse 14. Look at it. Jesus says, now I fixed you up, I helped you, but watch yourself. Don't sin no more, lest something worse happen to you. And there are women who long to be pregnant. This is really tough for some folks. I don't know if you're here. I don't know where you are. But I got to say what God says. You've been trying to get pregnant. You've been trying to, but the reason you can't get pregnant is because of the stuff you did as a teenager. Maybe you've had too many abortions, and your body has gotten used now to rejecting. And now that you're older and wiser, you're trying to do the right thing, but your body says no. We have got to be careful how we live. This is not your jumping sermon. I got to let you know that. But watch this. This man had no strength to enable him to plunge into the bubbling spring as they arose with healing power. The Bible says they came around the pool because an angel will come and trouble the water. But every time the water is troubled, the man does not have the power. He does not have the strength to jump in. And some of us here this morning may have been put down so long. We have been belittled so often. We no longer have the strength to say no. I've seen in my lifetime wonderful, beautiful women, handsome men, that keep making all the wrong choices, allowing people to abuse them and misuse them, and they are intelligent. I found out that some of the most abused people are very intelligent. But they have been messed up so bad, they don't have any self-esteem left. Everybody thinks they're great. Everybody applauds them. Everybody says, you are so awesome. And they're saying to myself or themselves, if you only knew my struggles. Listen, tell somebody things are not always the way they seem. Come on, tell your neighbor, things aren't always the way they seem. How many young ladies, how many ladies do you know from one relationship to another? This man is beaten her upside her head, beating for breakfast, beaten for lunch, beaten for dinner. When you ask her what's going on, a good. What is that on your forehead? Oh, the iron slipped. I was pressing my hair. The iron slipped. I bumped up on the kitchen sink. The bathroom. You lie. He beat you up. Well, watch yourself, brothers, because I know some of you getting the same stuff. We live in a very terrible society. We got to fix this. They're brothers, they are macho outside the house. I'm the man. They go home, they have to sit in the corner.
Yes, ma'am.
Why do that already? Do it again.
Yes, ma'am.
He come out with the brother. Yo, these women are nowadays, you know, I ain't gonna let the woman push me around. Same dude. I know you're laughing, but this is serious. So I want you to look beyond his physical impediment. Because a lot of things that we have physically are not physical. They're just manifesting in the physical. Did you get that? Everybody sees your potential. Everybody sees your greatness, but you.
Okay, we got to move on. This is too tense. Y'all, lighten up a bit. Ooh, can feel the tenseness.
He had no money to hire a carrier. Is it possible that he had spent all his money trying to get well? And now he's at the point he's broke. He doesn't have enough money to hire a carrier. Because if that supposed carrier brought him, he didn't have enough money for them to stick around. So nobody to help him. And the bystanders, I want you to watch this. The bystanders, whether sick or hale, had no mercy or sympathy for him. He was alone in this world, having no family and no friend who could help him. You would be surprised how many people are either alone or feel alone. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. In great company, people feel alone. So the bystanders, and I want to say this because we have been reduced now to bystanders who don't care anymore. There was a time when we looked out for each other. Do you know that there could be a serious fight and nobody would do anything? Do you know that we can see people hurting each other and we would just pass by? At the worst, we would stop and have a good time. Hiti again. But none of the bystanders would help him. None of them would even say, this man been coming here for 38 years. Let me help him. Instead, we look at him. He's by Bobby's. He's begging for a dollar. No, that's cheap. They've stepped it up now, right? They go up to five now. Yeah. Now, I know that some of them are lazy and just playing downright bad, but there are some of them who just need not a hand out, but a hand up. Next time you see somebody, don't judge them. Reach out. You never know their story. I wish I had time, but let me do this. I need to do this. There's a particular young man that I know quite well. We went to school together. Very bright, very intelligent, tremendous ideas. He had one bad experience, and today he's on the street begging. You don't want a better, intelligent, nice person. He is all that, but just been messed up. Some of us, people would throw us away. But if they knew our story, they would realize how much potential we have. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that somebody looked beyond my fault. Do I have a witness? And saw my need. I'm glad for the teachers in my life who took the extra time to help me. I have a brother. He talks often about many times there was this particular report from school. And teachers, if you're here, you need to be careful what you write in these children's report. You need to be careful what you say to these children. They are not what they do. They're not what they have or don't have. They are human beings. with potential. Don't call them stupid. They've heard enough of that. Don't tell them that you know. And this brother heard all this stuff. And he says, even now as a successful man, even if I tell you, be shocked, it still bothers me. Crippled, impotent. No, it's not physical. You wouldn't know it. It's mental. So don't just watch this man with his physical impotence. Get beyond that. Now, watch this. All of that was true. Yet the Bible says that this man from day to day came in hope of a cure. Let's fast forward now. Notice the next thing. Our Lord had compassion for him. Jesus walks up to the man and he says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Do you want to get well? Jesus began by asking the man if he wants to be cured. Now, that's not so foolish a question as it sounds. The question was designed to shake off the long apathy of years and revive the hopes of the afflicted man. The man had waited for 38 years, and it might well have been that hope had died and left a passive and dull despair. In his heart of hearts, the man might be well content to remain invalid, for if he was cured, he would have to shoulder all the burden of making a living. And as crazy as this sounds, let me illustrate. If you get a close up and talk to many of our prison inmates, many of them, if they're honest, because I've had this happen to me, if you really talk to them, you would realize those repeat offenders, if you ask some of them, as crazy as a song, they would tell you, "I feel safer in prison than outside. I receive more love and attention, be it school, than I do outside." For some of them, prison is a haven. Now, I don't want you to get the false notion that it's just a cake, a walk in the park. Prison is rough. But comparatively speaking, there are some who have been messed up so bad that prison is better than being free. Think about it. Think about it. And there are more imprisoned people outside walking the streets of the BVI than there are in Balsam Gut. Imprisoned. I don't have time to enumerate, but imprisoned. Don't have time to enumerate them. Imprisoned. Trapped. Trapped. So there are some invalids for whom life is not unpleasant at all because someone else does all the working and worrying. But this man's response was immediate. I want you to watch him. He wanted to be healed, even though he did not see how in the world this could be, since he had no one to help him because his focus was on the pool. Let me submit to you that the first essential towards receiving the power of Jesus Christ is to have intense desire for it. Jesus says, "Do you really want to be changed? How bad do you want it?" If in our inmost hearts we are content, hear me now, to stay as we are, there can be no change for us. How many of you, lift your hands if you don't, have you ever gotten so frustrated trying to help somebody that you know needs help but just won't accept it? Come on, has anybody ever been there? You're doing your best trying to help and they don't care. They don't want no help. Let me help you. Don't feel bad. It's not you. Even Jesus couldn't help some folk. You will not change what you tolerate. And some people just need extra help because they've been there so long they just got used to it. They have lost all sense of power. They're impotent. That's what the word says. They are impotent, mentally impotent, emotionally impotent, just impotent. The question was also designed to withdraw his mind from Bethesda and the waters thereof and bring him in contact with Jesus Christ himself. Jesus wanted to shift his focus from the well or the pool to him. Some of you are looking for your release in a particular way, in a particular form, in a particular fashion. You said, if I get a man, I'll be fine. If I get a job, I'll be fine. If I get $1 million, I'll be fine. Some of you have gotten all that and you're still not fine because you're looking in the wrong place to get the thing that you need. This is not a cliche. This is serious. What you really need is Jesus. I mean a good dose of Jesus. I ain't talking about religion. I'm talking about a relationship. I listened to the testimonies of brothers who said, I thought I had it together. I was miserable, but I was the fun of the party. I was the life of the party. But when Jesus came into my life, he gave me a peace. He gave me a joy. You can knock it all you want, but I tell you this, there is something about Jesus. Every time you come in contact with him, he never leaves you the same. God has a way of taking nothing and making something. God can take you this morning. Even now, we're about to close. So there's one last thing. I want you to see the actual cure. Jesus said to the man, rise, take up your bed and walk. Jesus goes on to tell the man to get up, as if Jesus says to him, man, bend your will to it, and you and I will do this thing together. You see, the power of God never dispenses with the effort of man. I want you to hear me as we come down. It is true that we must realize our own helplessness. We got to realize that we can't do it. But it is also true in a real sense that miracles happen when our will and God's power cooperate to make it happen. God might just be waiting on you. Some of you have been praying, God, take me out of this. Fix this. And God is saying, I've done everything I could. I send you all the help I could. I'm just waiting for you to make the first move. Could it be that God is just waiting for somebody here to make the next move? You said you want a husband, but you're so miserable. Now, he got to be crazy. If you've been so miserable, he's already unhappy for him to pick you up. You said you want a job, but you won't make the application. You won't do nothing. Now, this is a very significant point. The man didn't know that he was healed. I want you to watch this. Until he obeyed the command of the Lord. Jesus did not pronounce words of healing. Did you notice this? Jesus never said to the man, you are healed. In my name, you're healed. Jesus did not pronounce any sense of healing to the man. I want you to watch this. Don't think you have God figure out. What he did yesterday, he don't have to do it the same way today. He didn't say anything about be healed. Jesus simply commanded the man to act. In the act, the man was to show his faith If he believes, he will arise and walk. If he did not believe, he will simply lie there and continue the same old way. That's what God is saying to a whole lot of us. I've given you everything I've got, but you don't believe, so you keep on living the same old way. Somebody said, the definition of insanity is to do the same thing the same way and expect a different result. That's crazy. All right, let's bring this down. Watch this. The impotent man walked in the joy of his recovered power. He rediscovered his power. And I want you to rediscover your power. Now, the miracle was done on the Sabbath day. It was a deed of mercy and therefore suitable to the day. We're not going over to those crazy people. They had a problem with that. We don't have time. The miracle was not to be gainsaid, as this man had been long known to resort to Bethesda in the search of a cure. Here is the road to achievement. There are so many things in the world which defeat us. Let's be honest. When we have intensity of desire and determination to make the effort, hopeless though it may seem, the power of Jesus Christ gets its opportunity. And with him, we can conquer what for so long has conquered us. Here it is. I address you now, first group. If you sit here today lost in your sins, I want you to hear me today. It doesn't matter how long you've been in your sin. It doesn't matter how far you've gone in your sin. Even now, it's not too late. Do I have a witness when I say that God is able to save to the uttermost? God can take you from the guttermost to the uttermost. Do I have a witness? So I'm speaking to you today, no matter how long you've been there, no matter how serious your case is, I want you to know that even now it's not too late. I want to turn my attention very quickly to those of you who are like the prodigal son or daughter. You have strayed. You have wasted your life in riotous living. You once had a relationship with God, but you've turned away. I want you to know that even now, it's not too late. God the Father is waiting for you. He's looking out. As a matter of fact, he will run to you. Here's what the boy said. How many hired servants of my father have everything they need? Here am I, a child that has everything I need, and I'm out here. It's a mess. I will arise and go to my father. And the Bible says, when he was yet a far away. I want you to know, everybody may have put you down. Everybody is criticizing you. Everybody is condemning you because of what you did. And God is saying, I'm longing for you. I'm ready to put my arms around you. I'm ready to hug and kiss you. I'm ready to put shoes on your feet. I'm ready to put a ring on your finger. I'm ready to kill the fatted calf. I'm ready for celebration, because everyone who comes back home, tell somebody it's time to come back home. Even now, it's not too late. And then, if like the woman with the issue of blood, you have come to the end of your ropes. You have spent it all on many physicians and have gotten worse. I want to submit to you that you can reach out and touch the hem of God's garment. And even now, it's not too late. I don't know what you've been dealing with. I don't know what you've been suffering with. But I want you to know that even now, it's not too late. And what about, there may be someone here today, like Job, you may have lost everything. You've seen so many people in your life just leave, whether by death, divorce, or whatever, that you are so naive and even paranoid that you don't trust anybody. You have stopped living. You've lost everything. I want you to know that even now you can trust God. Here's what I found, as in the case of Job and in my own life, God has a way of giving you double for your trouble. Do I have a witness? So those of you that are going through your struggles, you've lost everything. Everything is going wrong in your life. I want you to know that even now, it's not too late. God can turn it around. Tell somebody, God can turn this around. Or you may be like Abraham. You may be like Sarah. You've been trusting God for some fruit. And I don't want you to just concentrate on a baby. Maybe it's a baby. If it's that your case, take it. But your life has been empty, has been fruitless. You're now old. And you think that nothing can happen for you. I want you to hear me today. That even now after you're old, even now after you've come to the end of everything and everybody says it can't happen, I want you to know that God has the ability to cause it to rain in the desert. God can turn your situation around. Let us stand. God has spoken. Let the church say, amen one more time. Tell somebody, even now, it's not too late. So sinner, come home. Backslider, come on home. Child of God, come on in. You can live again. You can smile again. You can rejoice again. Even now, after you've been through all that, it's not too late. Bow your heads with me.